Welcome back to another episode of Black Widow Deer Lures Podcast. I'm here with the owner of Black Widow Deer Lures, Andy Bogolski, myself, John McPherson, and we've covered a lot of topics so far in our series, and we're going to move right along. We've just covered a lot about scrapes.
We covered a lot about everything, and we just laughed between. We're going, almost some of it seems repetitious, but it isn't, because it all intertwines, everything from scrapes to the rut and the pre-rut.
Yeah, it all kind of goes together. So some of the information, you know, even though at times it sounds repetitious, about similar tips and tactics. So moving from the scrapes, you know, we covered scrapes in the last couple podcasts. And now, if you guys are listening to this, streaming this podcast, you can also watch the video podcast on our YouTube channel. And so we kind of went over some of the products that we use for scrapes, and another product that we had come out with last year. So last year we came out with buck butter. And what you got there?
Buck butter, want to smell some?
No, I don't want to smell.
Buck butter,
it's
the forehead gland.
A little potent. Yeah.
You know, in a gel. And what we like to do is, you know, everybody's seen buck rubs. And a lot of times, you know, they get very, very pronounced, where you can actually look at them and you can see one here.
See the travel route,
you
absolutely.
You can almost see the travel route. One, boom, boom, all the way down. So we like to doctor those up, especially if they're near our stands, you know, with the forehead gland lure, buck butter. You know, it's been a big success last year, and it's a good tool to have in the pack.
Yep. Now that, so buck rubs, so scrapes are definitely a
sexual attractant, and it's a signpost. I mean, it's
for everybody. So, but when you get into buck rubs, now you're getting into that time where territorial instinct is really kicking in, and that's kind of, you know, I've heard you say before, that's kind of how you say that really kind of kicks off pre-rut.
Yeah, and you sit there and you look at that, you know, rub line, you go, and that's a travel quarter, that's the buck trail. And a lot of times it's not the heavy trail. A lot of times the buck trail is not the heavy trail. The heavy trail might be over there 10 yards to the left or to the right. Yeah. No, those trails are little tiny bucks, does, a lot of does.
Yeah.
But you see that trail with that the buck rubs, and you see a few tracks here and there. You know, a lot of times that's the older buck. He's traveling. They skirt and they shadow the does.
Yeah, and, you know, scrape line, I mean rub line, that I ran across that kind of opened my eyes to that was when I was younger. I had shot a doe, and she ran and fell in this small creek, and I jumped down into the creek to find this doe, and as I walked up the creek, there were scrapes on the trees of the bank, I mean rubs on the bank of the trees all the way down this little stream. So the buck wasn't actually traveling any path. He was actually in the water, and he was walking down the stream, and he was rubbing the trees down the stream as he was passing through this small parcel. I mean, it was a small property, but still, like, you know, we didn't see any rubs on the whole property. We never seen them anywhere.
Yeah, but that, a lot of times, that's an edge. It's not very deep. Yeah. It's the path of least resistance sometimes.
Yeah.
And they'll just walk right down there. What's the difference of them walking ankle deep in water?
Yeah. And that's what, not a big deal. That's where he wanted to be. Kind of like we talked about before in a previous podcast. Where do they want to be? Not where do we want them to be, but where do they want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And so when they start rubbing their antlers, like you said, that kind of kicks things off. So
they start early, and it's testosterone. Yeah. And they're, you know, a lot of people go, you know, they're rubbing the velvet off. No, they're rubbing because of the testosterone, the massive influx of testosterone. And at that point, they're ready. They're ready to breed. And a lot of people go, well, that's early September, middle of September, you know, all this stuff. And those don't... So many times I hear people go, does don't come into heat until first week of November.
No.
Well, I hope you don't think that all those come into heat in that 1 week in November, because then you wouldn't see all the baby fawns starting from March, early, you know, middle of March, April, May, June, July, and even August.
Right.
I mean, it's not set in stone. I mean, I see a lot of does being bred in the first week of October.
Yeah.
Middle of October.
And so there's, and then as far as like when you're talking about the influx of testosterone and everything, why they're rubbing their antlers, because there's a lot of truth to that, because I've seen where bucks still have velvet throughout November because they're, let's say their genitals didn't fall, they're stuck in their abdomen, and so they don't actually
start producing testosterone. Yeah,
they're not producing the testosterone. So, and we actually just had one killed over on our property in Richmond County. Actually, Mike Treese harvested a buck that still had velvet, and essentially when they cleaned the deer, his genitals were in his abdomen, and they were just fatty tissue, so he didn't have any testosterone pumping through his system, so he still had velvet on his antlers.
That's why you see sometimes, every once in a while, you see a doe with antlers, but when you see them, they still have velvet on them.
Yeah.
You know, because there's no testosterone. The testosterone, massive influx of testosterone, that's what dries up the velvet.
Yeah.
And it dies, and then the bucks are, at that time, they're getting going, they're ready, they're rubbing. Yeah. It's not to say, oh, boy, let me get this piece of velvet off. Well, their eyes are here. They can't see what's up here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's hard bone, so it's not like it itches, you know?
No. And, you know, so it's all testosterone, and you know the bucks are getting horned up, and no offense,
ready to go,
But you know, they're looking for that one doe here and there, and like I said, yeah, they're breeding early. Rare, I mean, one here,
right? Just
one
a few,
there. Yeah. I mean, five.
It's not. It's
half
not
a mile
the
away.
Majority. Yeah,
it's, you know. Yes, most bucks, most does come into estrus, especially in the Great Lakes regions, et cetera, the first week or so, 10 days of November. But they're coming in, and you hear all these, I call them talking heads on TV. They sit there and go, the rut, the peak of the rut. Well, when you sit there and say the peak of the rut, think about what they just said, the peak of the rut. That's the peak, like a big letter A, gigantic letter A, the peak of the rut, right there. November, just say 10th. The bottom of the A over here is way back down into late September.
Yeah.
And this other part of the A on this side goes into the January. Yeah. I mean, you have fawns that are born in April that by the time January 1st comes, they're coming into heat. And they're 9-10 months old, and they're getting bred.
Yeah. Yeah. So the rut is not a strict timeline. When it happens, you know, they come in throughout the season. Even they come in if they are not bred during the peak or any time, then they come in
a month later.
Every month.
Less,
so
less than a month.
You're talking about a deer that's bred sometimes in January.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, you know, when you go to your stand and you're hunting, all of a sudden you see a, 30, 40 pound fawn with spots coming through. And I was born late, super late.
201 days gestation.
Yeah.
So roughly 200 days, give or take a couple of few days.
Right. So you definitely, when you see fawns of all different ages, yearlings of all different ages, there's not just one little small tiny window that they breed. And so, you know, going back to buck butter, you know, this is a time when territorial instincts really start stepping up. This is when they're really, really getting agitated at other bucks. And this right here, again, if you hear me in a previous podcast, I say this is kind of like picking a fight.
It's when the bachelor groups are breaking up.
Yeah, you're picking a fight. So you go and you rub that stuff on one of a buck's rub. You are now, it's game on.
Especially if it's on a rub line, on his trail.
Absolutely.
Because he's got to smell it every step of the way, and he's not happy.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, he's wondering who just tried him. Who just punked him? Somebody just tried him. So the buck butter has definitely been a great tool in piquing Buck's interest. And this is similar as the scrape package and the different tools that we're using, is to essentially kind of get on their bad side to where they're starting to travel more frequently. When they start traveling more frequently, then you've got more opportunity to harvest these deer. So all of these different scents that that Andy's developed over these years essentially is increasing frequency of them, increasing activity of them coming in a certain areas. So giving you a better opportunity to be able to harvest, you know, these deer. So buck butter is definitely this year, I think, you know, we had a real good response. I think it was kind of one of those items that were kind of, I guess we had such a great success with branch butter. We're like, all right, well, let's see what buck butter's got in store. And I tell you, it did not disappoint. That is for sure.
Right.
And so what's the difference between the branch butter and the buck butter?
Branch butter is preorbital and forehead gland.
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit more preorbital. And then the buck butter for the rubs is all forehead gland. And both of them gels. And so a little bit more octane with the forehead.
Yep. And so if you guys are watching this on YouTube, you can see on the right-hand side is a more of copper tube. That is the buck butter. And on the left is your silver tube, which is branch butter. If you guys are streaming this and listening to the podcast, you can always go to the Blackwood of Deer Lures YouTube channel and see the visual, the video that's there. Mm-hmm. So buck butter's got more of your forehead gland, and that's kind of going to, kind of, like I said, pick a fight. So now we're into pre-rut. And so we're going to talk a little.
I love pre-rut.
This is Andy's wheelhouse right here. We actually changed. We changed the date.
I love the time from the 20th, 21st, 22nd of October.
Yeah.
To just a little bit through Halloween.
Yeah.
And if you're not in the woods on Halloween, the day before Halloween, you're missing. You know?
Yeah, because again,
so many people go, well, I want to hunt the rut. Well, do you really?
Yeah, I mean,
you can hunt the rut. Well, half of the bucks are locked up.
Yeah,
they, you know, they found their girl. All the girl, you know, not all the girl, but a lot of girls are ready. They're off in some brush somewhere. They're off in, you know, and they're not traveling very far.
Yeah,
you know, when you're in the pre-rut, when you're in that week 10 days beforehand, you know, you've got a handful of girls that are ready. But you got a lot of girls that are sitting there going, they're wagging their tails and they're going, follow me, baby.
Yeah.
I'm not ready yet. And they're running through the woods. That's when you see what I call it, the choo-choo train.
Yeah.
If any of you ever seen what I call the choo-choo train, you see a doe come loping through and you see a buck. And a couple minutes later, another buck and another buck. I mean, I've seen 8 different bucks over about a half hour period of time before.
Just chasing one doe. Yeah.
One doe. They're on it and they smell it and they're tracking.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the pre-rut. That's the love of the pre-rut. I mean, you get on a field. My favorite field on our farm in Ohio is 400 yards square, 400 yards one way, and you could just sit there, and the does become absent. No. I mean, you see a few does here and there because they're
hiding.
They know. They step out in that field because there's so many. The bucks walk out, and the first thing they do, they go.
Yeah.
And they're looking
visually.
They're looking hundreds of yards. They're looking this way, that way. They're looking at chasing, and the does that aren't ready, you know, they're hiding. They're hiding for their lives. It's kind of like the girls, you know. The girls go out and they got they got one bad girl that wants to flirt with all the guys, and you got the four other girls that are saying, I don't want nothing. You know, they're running away, and the one's flirting, you know.
That's like when we were there and watching that field, and a buck came out, and we had a little spike beside our blind. Remember, so a little spike was sitting there, and then all of a sudden, this buck comes charging across the field. Because he's just revved up looking for a doe. And he comes flying over there, and he flies up to that spike, and he's like, oh, man, you're a boy. And because they just, all they're doing at that time is
searching for does,
and they are running all over. And that, when that buck came running across there, you know, I was able to catch it on film, actually. And you'll probably see some of those clips on the Widowmakers TV show, airing on, Hunt Channel and My Outdoors TV. And you could always go to the VOD library on Hunt Channel and watch all of the previously aired episodes of Widowmakers. And in the TV show, we go over all sorts of different tips and tricks on some of the lures that we have, as well as how to use them out in the field. And
that's another time, though. And that is the time to use decoys.
Especially if you could have
one's good. If you have two, when you got a visual and they could, and it's flat and they can see 200-300 yards this way, a couple hundred yards that way. Anybody that's been out there, you've seen bucks come out, look around, nothing. They walk right back in.
Yep.
I mean, they're looking. Now, if you have a couple, you got the wind, you got a couple deer decoys, you spray it down with a little triple X, or which is doestrus, Black Widow's doestrus, basically standing, it's when they're ready to breed, or matriarch, which is again, when they're ready to breed, pica estrus, you spray down those decoys, and I'm going to tell you what, or the area right around the decoys, they're going to make their way there. They're going to circle it. And if you put them in the right position, they're going to be coming in from behind.
Yeah.
So you kind of have them situated. If you're in a tree stand on the edge like this, you have it far enough out so they can circle.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So the pre-rut is a magical time. Like I said, everybody always talks about the rut, but
the pre-rut,
is amazing, really. I mean, you could really see, like, when the chase phase starts and they're running all over, that's really and again, like, going back, we actually changed dates from one year to the next to make sure we got there a week earlier, because the first time we went, we weren't too sure what to expect, when we first got the place. And then the next year, we're like, a week earlier. And so we've been going since a week earlier, and you can definitely tell, because we've filmed a shooter buck behind us one time.
You just mentioned something. All you have to do is listen to the words, the chase phase. That's what you're sitting there trying to tell. The deer are running. They're chasing. They're looking. Chasing. They're searching. They're seeking. That's when you want to be in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
The peak of the rut. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because we were actually there. We went 1 week. And then we took a couple of days off. We had to come back and handle a couple of things, and we went back out. And that was actually during the peak, if not just a couple of days after. And we actually had a shooter buck behind us, and he was with a doe, and he laid right beside her. And then he'd come, remember
last back year.
He was laying right behind us, and I saw the buck go in, and I'm like, there's a shooter right behind us. And he didn't go anywhere. He laid right beside that doe. And when that doe got up and left, he got up and left. And he didn't let her get 10 foot from him the whole time.
Nope. And she just moseyed.
Yeah.
I mean, she probably went another 50, 75 yards over the top of the knob, laid back down.
Yeah.
Because they're not moving much.
They're just sticking with them. They're just staying with them.
I mean, I've watched it in a lot of different places where you see open field with a wet spot where the grass is, goldenrod is, waist high, and you see a buck out there 200 yards standing there looking at it at that wet spot, the high grass, the high grass could be only 20 feet in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
I'll guarantee you there's a doe laying down there. He's sitting there watching.
Yeah. Standing guard.
And that's what they do.
Yeah. So the
he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, so the pre-rut is definitely a exciting time to be in the woods. So don't get discouraged that you got to wait. Don't plan your vacation time around the rut itself. But the pre-rut is just as exciting
as
a lot of people talk about the rut itself. So, and then, we're circling back to the buck butter when you get down in the pre-rut. And then Andy also touched on triple X and the matriarch. So now this is stuff that we suggest taking out during that time, during the pre-rut. You're really, things are starting to gear up. Buck butter, again, you're picking fights. Don't forget about your scrapes. Make sure you get your branch butter on your licking branch and your scrape master. And that's a good time. I kind of switch from scrape master to dominator around that time to put it in the scrapes. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of, you like to use a scrape master as well. I end up tending to go to the dominator mm-hmm. about that time of year.
Pissing them off.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I use.
I don't know if I can use that. I don't know if I can use that language.
But. Yeah, absolutely. So we. So I end up using. I'll pour dominator in the scrape, and then I'll put branch butter, on the licking branch, and that's when I really start deploying drags. That is a good time of year
to start to deploying drags. And it's like, if you're not using Estes lure, be it the Hot and Ready XXX or the Matriarch, you're missing out. And you know. You need to be using the drags. And here's the thing with a drag. If you're going to go any distance, if you're going to go 150 yards, you need to spray that thing down about every 15, 20 yards. Give it a couple shots because think about what's happening. What you're doing, if you're not saturating that thing, that drag frequently, what's happening is you start and go, say, 200 yards. It's strong at the time you started. By the time you get to where you're going, after going through the grass and everything else, it's mostly dry. It's weak. And what does a deer do? Travels to its hottest source. Just like if you're hunting rabbits and you got a beagle. Rabbit gets kicked out, but the dog didn't see it. He'll come out and hit that track, and he'll go left, go right, figure out which way, and then...
Yeah,
so and that same thing, more people have screwed up and had the deer
work away from them.
Work away from them, take them back to the car.
Away, yeah,
you know, it's like, really?
Yeah, so that's a lot. You know, when we actually, when Dwayne was up with me hunting on Baby Everest, that was, we would walk up, you know, at first he was kind of looking at me because we'd walk, you know, I don't know, 15, 20 foot, and then I'd stop, spray down again. And then I start walking again, stop, spray down again. He's like, man, you're using a lot of that stuff. And I'm like, well, we're going to keep on refreshing it. You know, that way, it, you know, it again, it doesn't start hot at the base of the mountain. And then by the time we get to the top, it's a weak point because when that buck hits that trail, he's running straight down the mountain because he thinks that's the hottest.
Because it's, there's more scent.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so. Something to think about when you're doing it. And, yeah.
And I know Ben's done a Booner School on that as well. And so has, I believe, David Heisman for Passing On Outdoors. Yeah. Also has done a video on that as well. A lot of times what they like to do, the same thing, is they actually go to their stand.
You mentioned Ben Rising, Whitetail Edge.
Yeah, Ben from Whitetail Edge. And what he'll do on his Booner School, he actually did a video sponsored by Blackwater Deer Lures. And he got to a stand location, and then he went out in front of a stand location, did the drag from there out. So he didn't actually start from away from the stand, working his way towards the stand. He actually went to a stand, got his stuff at the base of the tree, I believe, walked out. And again, you guys can go and watch his series called Booner School. Lots of great information. Big fan of the Matriarch scent. And what he likes to do is he'll use a drag, but he drags from stand location away. Yeah, out.
And not very far, 50, 75 yards.
Yeah. Just across a couple of travel routes just to kind of get their attention and bring them to where he wants them to be. And that was kind of a good tactic that he covered in Booner School. And again, Matriarch, XXX, great lures to use this time of year. Exciting. Also keep branch butter in your pack, because that's definitely, you come across a rub, you're going to want to put that branch butter on there.
Oh, yeah.
Pick that fight.
And another thing you want to do is when you are in a stand at this time of the year, mist. A lot of people go, what? Mist? Sit there and spray the lure every 5, 6, 7 minutes, 1, 2 pumps. And no, I'm not trying to make you use the lure.
just want us to spray it because we'll spray it.
It's a 3-ounce bottle. Yeah. They're less expensive than a lot of the company's 1-ounce bottles. Right. And fresh, dated, and they're fine mist sprayer. So you'll get 300, 400 pumps out of one bottle. And the thing is, too, treat them with respect. Don't slam it all the way down to the thing, because you know what happens to your car when you slam your struts or your shocks all the way to the bottom? You wind up breaking the springs. And the same thing happens with any type of pump sprayer. Just, right. All you have to do is go halfway and mist. Let the air carry it. You know, I'm not a fan. You know, a lot of people will go, well, I've got this heating unit. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, I'm not going to mention companies, but the heating units are basically useless. Useless. You know, and I'm going to get emails or something. It's basically useless because, especially if it's 40 degrees or 35 degrees, it heats the urine. Okay. Gets into a little bit of a mist. By the time it goes 5 feet, it ain't 90-something degrees anymore. Mm-hmm. It's at 40 degrees. So basically, you're gaining 4 or 5 feet, and you're setting it up. I mean, I've seen people go and ruin their hunting area by taking a unit, walking down in front of their stand, out there 20 yards, setting it up, putting it up, and it has a little fan on it. Well, the fan's about 2 inches in diameter.
Right.
It blows about 3 feet, and now all of a sudden you walked out there, and you let every single doe that's going to come walking through there say,
yeah.
You know, there's people here.
Yeah, not to mention half the time those units are sitting in the back seat of their truck or something.
Yeah, I mean, that little tiny fan blows it 2 feet, 3 feet, and then what? Okay, the wind takes it.
Right.
It's not giving you any, it's more harm because you're carting it in there. You got it on backpacks. You're carting this. You're doing that. The whole thing about killing mature bucks, easy in, easy out. Get in, get out. Not walk around the stand, set things up, move this around. All you're doing is giving scent out, and
you're ruining your opportunities.
Yeah. You're letting any yearling come in there or doe come in there and go, this ain't right.
There's a lot of smells in here. Yeah, and that's so misting, you know, we like to mist a lot while we're in the stand. You know, every few minutes or so,
5 minutes,
I'll give a few pumps. Yeah, and that, again, that you can see on a Widowmakers TV show. You'll see David Heinzman from Passing Outdoors. He is a big fan of misting, as well as Ben Rising from Whitetail Edge.
He's killed. I think Ben killed a real nice booner.
Killed a real nice one misting, and you can see kind of the tactic. You know, if you're a visual person, you can go check out these TV shows. You can also watch Widowmakers on Hunt Channel and My Outdoors TV. You can also watch all the previously aired episodes on the VOD library, and you can see some clips on our social media, Facebook, Instagram, as well as YouTube. And so if you guys are listening to this, you're streaming this podcast, you can watch the video version of this podcast on our YouTube channel as well. Just search for Blackwooded Deer Lures. But again, pre-rut, you know, get your Blackwooded Deer Lures. You can go over there, and at this time of the year, we offer the ultimate rut package. And so essentially what comes in the rut package is your Hot and Ready XXX, your Dominator, your Branch Butter. You're going to get a 6-ounce jar of Scrape Beads, Scrape Master Scrape Beads, a pack of Scent Sticks.
I don't have here.
Yep. 2-ounce beads. And then you're also going to get a pack of wicks. And so,
like this, there's 4 of them in it.
Yep. And so you can go to our website, blackwooddeerlures.com, and you can order the ultimate rut package for that time. And if you want to customize and get your own, like I said, own combination of different lures, make sure you get an estrus lure. I'm a big fan of Dominator this time of year. Kind of like I said, Buck Butter, Branch Butter, Dominator, and the estrus of your choice. Hot and Ready, XXX, or Matriarch. Those are the ones that I carry during pre-rut and the rut. Because, again, you're trying to get their attention. You're trying to pick a fight. You know, I'm trying to get the madder the buck gets, the more chances he is to mess up.
I'm a lover. I like XXX. Another thing I want to mention, I should mention every podcast, Blackwooded Deer Lures is a proud participant in the Deer Protection Program.
Yeah.
It took over from the ATA program. It's a lot more strict. We also, part of the deer protection program, all our lures have to be tested by RT Quick system. Mm-hmm. And show that there isn't any CWD present. So it's legal in Louisiana, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama,
North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee, Michigan, you know, the ones that have some restrictions on the deer lures, it's all legal.
Yep. So if you guys have Blackwater deer lures in your pack, you can have the confidence knowing you're going to go out into the field and you have no part in spreading CWD. So all of our products are go through strict guidelines and are tested. And that's the extra mile because,
not all states.
We don't have to test. We don't have to.
Well, we do. Well,
in certain states.
Oh, it's the name. Louisiana has to be tested. Yeah. But what we did, and I'm on the board.
In the DPP, yeah.
Of the DPP. What we did is we made it mandatory to be part of it because we're going to extra step. We're going way ahead that all our lures
had to be.
To be a part of the DPP has to be
tested.
Yeah, absolutely. RT Quick test.
And that is a step that everybody in the scent industry has taken on their own because the states do not require that except for a couple.
Louisiana
requires RT Quick test. However, North Carolina, Michigan, Alabama, Tennessee, they don't require it. At this time, they don't. But DPP as an organization went ahead and took that extra step to make sure. And so, you know what? Not only do we go through these strict guidelines and restrictions, we're going to go the extra step and we're going to test and prove that it's CWD free.
Correct.
Yeah. So, well, guys.
Nothing detected.
Yep. Zero. So we appreciate you guys checking in and listening to another Black Widow Deer Lures podcast. And this one was on rubs and pre-rut, and the next one we're going to go in and get in a little bit more on estrus lures and really dive into the science of it, the myths of when you should and shouldn't use it, and so we'll see you guys on the next podcast. If you haven't heard our previous podcast, The History of Blackwater Deer Lures, Mock Scrapes, Doctoring Up Scrapes, our scent line, you can always go back and listen to our previous episodes. You can go to YouTube and watch the video versions of these. And we'll see you on the next Blackwater Deer Lures podcast.
Look us up, blackwaterdeerlures.com.